Matthew chapter 22. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like the Christian life can become, we talked this morning a little bit about it can become a little bit mundane, all right? We can just kind of go through the motions. Sometimes I think we can lose our focus on what actually matters. I don't know if you've ever been there before. Maybe it happens in your everyday life. I know it happens in my everyday life. On Monday, before we left, there was a long list of things that we needed to get done. We had the memorial service on Saturday, and Sunday was just, it was a day spent with people and at church. And so Monday, it was like, it had to get done if we were going to leave on Tuesday. All these things had to get done. We were supposed to mow the grass. It had rained all weekend, so we had to mow. We had to go by the post office, go get dog food, drop the dogs off. You get the idea, right? It was going to be a busy day. And I went to go pay a bill, and I was just going to, you know, click on it, pay the bill, and get it done, and move on. But I had the bright idea that I should probably call them and take care of an issue that I had. And so, of course, I called them, and a long hour later, I finally had it wrapped up. I kind of got a little distracted, right? Do you ever do that before? You go to do something, and you have like 12 things you need to do before you get there somehow, and then sometimes you never even get there, all right? We're here. Spoiler alert, we made it, all right? But sometimes we can lose our focus. And here, as we come to Matthew chapter 22, I want to encourage you in something that I know that you know, I know that you've heard it before, but I pray that it'll be an encouragement to you and just a reminder, what are we here for? You know, during that day when I was all scattered, and what do you have to remind yourself of? What actually matters today, right? What do I have to get done today? And here, as we come to Matthew 22, a lawyer comes to Jesus and asks him a question. He kind of wants to ask him a trick question. You know, if we were to ask a question similar to this, maybe we would ask somebody, have you stopped beating your dog? How do you answer that? Right? Yes? No? How do we answer that? Here, as we come to this portion of Scripture, the Pharisees have sent their lawyer, the best man that they know, to ask him a question. Verse 35 says, was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment? You know, in that day, they were teaching over 613 different laws. And so here he's come to him, this lawyer, and he's asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's pray. Father, this morning, or this evening, Lord, would you remind us of what it all boils down to? Lord, to love you and to love others. Lord, we get distracted, we get caught up in our day-to-day life, and I forget this, and I pray that it would be an encouragement and a reminder to us this evening. Lord, just to love you and to love people like you did. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, perhaps you're here this evening, and you've have been in almost a fog, right? I can imagine here as maybe the disciples that were listening in or the people that were around them, there were a lot of rules to follow. Can you imagine 613 rules that you would have to follow? I can't comprehend that, right? As they would memorize them, as they would prepare for them. And this was a lot to keep up with, right? But as we come here, Jesus really summarizes it and brings it all down to this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The first thing that we see, obviously, is to love God. To love God. You know, perhaps the most simple thing that Jesus reminds this lawyer of is that he was his God. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord who's God. Thy God, right? He's our God. The God that we get to love this evening is my God. He is your God. He's not just a God. He's just not our church's God. He's not our parents' God. He is our God. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah 25 verse 9 says, And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. You know this verse, Psalm 100 verse 3, Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of our pasture. You see, this evening, the God that we get to love created me. The God that I get to love saved me when I didn't deserve it. And the God that I get to love tonight, he takes care of me. He meets the needs that I have. Isn't that amazing? When we think about all that God has done for us, he is my God, the Lord our God. You know, I'd ask you tonight, this is kind of a generic question, but have you made him your God? Sometimes, we can make it our church's God. We can make it our parents' God. We can make it maybe even our pastor's God, our mentor's God. But have you ever thought the fact that he's my God? Tonight, he is our God. I encourage you to do that. Have you ever put your faith and trust in him? You know, without believing and calling on him, he can't be your God, right? But when we call and ask Jesus to come into our heart to save us, he becomes our God. We are in love with him. We are to be in love with him with all of our being. As we read these verses here, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, our God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You can imagine here the idea of heart has the idea of emotions or the innermost part of our being. We can almost picture love the Lord thy God with all thy heart easier, right? Because what do we say if you ever watched a movie, what do they say? I love you with all my heart, right? Has the same idea. All of our emotions, the feelings are just overwhelming. I love you with everything that I can process, right? The feelings that I have. We must start loving God here first. And then it goes on to say, with all thy soul. This almost has the idea of our psyche, our breath, the life, your entire being. You are willing to devote it all to him. You know, if our heart and feelings are all in, we find that our whole being, our life, must be also. Do you love him with your whole soul this evening? I mean, do you love him with everything that is within you? Do you love him? Are you all in loving him? He is worthy. With all your mind has the idea of our understanding, our thoughts, right? And you can almost picture, if you're thinking about someone maybe that you love a lot, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's your spouse, you love them not only just in mind, right? Maybe I love Alyssa, but sometimes there's the feelings of I really love her, right? And then with all my being, that's another level of love, and God wants us to love him with everything, with all that is within us. Jesus reminded the lawyer that his entire being was to direct his thoughts and will to loving God. Are you loving the Lord? You know, sometimes we're talking about in Sunday school this morning, it's hard to show or to completely love those that are around us. Sometimes it's hard to love my wife, right? Sometimes it's hard for her to love me because of something that I've done. But you know that when it comes to the Lord, he loved us first, right? And 1 John 4 verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. You know these verses. 1 John 4, verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Christ loved us first. It's so hard sometimes to love someone when they don't love you, right? Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever gone to the store, or if you've been, maybe you're in a Walmart parking lot and you look around at the people around you, they don't necessarily love you, right? And sometimes it can be hard to love them first. But here, the Bible says that God loved us first. He gave his son for us. We should have the heart to love him back. Tonight, do you love him? I mean, do you love him with all of your being? Psalms 18, verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 40, verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalms 5, verse 11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Sometimes we say that we love the Lord, but we walk around like this, right? When we love the Lord, when you're passionately in love with someone, and you're kind of consumed by it, right? We had an example of that yesterday. If you came to the wedding, maybe you saw Andrew's face. He was pretty consumingly in love, right? Julia was pretty majorly in love with Andrew, and you could just see it on their face. And I imagine if you get to see them when they come back, they're going to be even more in love, right? And the love's going to continue to grow. That's how it should be with our Lord. It should just be emanating. Our love for him should just be overflowing when we think about what he's done. Does your love for God show? Our love and passion for God should just radiate from us. And I love that as Jesus is saying to the lawyer, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and not just say it, but love him with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Are you leaning? Are you learning more about him? Are you growing closer to him? You know, in my life, I'm thankful for Alyssa, and the more that I've gone through with her, the more that our love deepens and the more that it grows. And may it be the same for our Lord. Maybe when you first get saved, there's the excitement of being saved and you love the Lord. But may our love continually grow for him. May it grow deeper and deeper. And may we continue to learn more and more about him. Are you striving to love him with your all this evening? If we take our eyes off of all the rules, off of all the things that are around us, could you say, I love the Lord? Why are we doing what we're doing? Do we do it because we love the Lord or because it's what we're supposed to do? May we love the Lord above all else. The second thing that we see here, it says, the second is like unto it, verse 39. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not only are we to love God with our everything, but we must be loving the people God has placed in our lives as well. Now, I love growing up. Maybe you thought this as well as a child. I always thought my neighbors were those right beside me, right? If I could walk next door and knock on their door, that was my neighbor. But Jesus here has the idea when he's saying neighbor, and you can think almost to the Good Samaritan story, right? When you think about the Samaritan coming by and taking care of the one who was wounded, that anyone that is God has placed in our life, he is our neighbor. And sometimes I forget about that, right? When I'm at the store, when I'm in the Walmart parking lot, when somebody rams in front of me and driving, they're not my neighbor, they're my enemy, right? Yet God wants us to love those that he's placed in our lives. He wants us to love them as if they were ourselves. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love has the idea to be fond or welcoming, almost entertaining to those that are around us. And neighbors, any of those that are around us, basically anyone that we meet, we are to be kind and loving. We're to be a kind and loving God, person that we have been put as. Let me stop and I'm going to say it slower, all right? We are to be a kind and loving person. And when we think about the fact that we are loving the Lord, if we're loving the Lord, and we're going to get to this in a second, but if we're loving the Lord how we should, the love of the Lord is going to emanate to those that are around us. The love of the Lord is going to emanate to those that are around us. John 15, verse 12 and 13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, right? I mean, we're to love others, but this is how much we're to love them. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Are you willing to lay down your life for that person that's in Walmart? Are you willing to give up your life for someone who doesn't know the Lord? Are you willing to give your life to someone who's wronged you? Powerful words, is it not? 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know this verse, Ephesians 4, verse 32. We don't like this verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Has Christ forgiven us a little bit? Has Christ only forgiven us when it's going okay? No, he's forgiven us all of it. Why? Because he loves us so much. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm around people too much, or if somebody just keeps hounding me about something, or if I'm at my workplace and maybe they're calling me every day, asking if their piece of equipment is done when I don't even have the part yet, I think, I can't love this person anymore, right? They just need to stop. But no, God wants us to love others, to fervently. Romans 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. It's important for us to do this. Do you get the picture this evening? We're supposed to love others. We're supposed to love them passionately. You see, Jesus has done so much for us that we are to love others like he did us. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but when someone first gets married, maybe they're a little bit different than each other, but the longer that they're married together, they kind of start to say similar things, right? And maybe they even, as they begin to get older and older, they begin to look a little bit like each other. And matter of fact, when somebody asks a question, the other person could almost answer it for them, right? They've grown so close to each other that they almost know the answer for the other person, sometimes even better, right? Alyssa usually answers my questions better than I can, because it's just the closer you get, the more you become like them. Do you know that it's the same way with the Lord? As we become close to him, as we get to know him more and more, as our love for him, as we begin to love him, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, when we begin to get consumed in our love for him, then we're going to automatically start loving other people. Isn't that amazing? Because God is love. God loves us so much, and when we become close to him, it becomes natural for us to love others. I think that's an amazing thing, is it not? When we are loving God with all of our being, we will become more and more like him. God in Christ loved us. I ask you, will you? My heart's desire, I believe God's desire for us tonight, is to be known as a group of people who just love God and others. Shouldn't that be our heartbeat?
Yeah.
That's what Christ wanted for us. Will we be perfect? No. Will our doctrine always be perfect? No. Will our standards be exactly what God wants it to be? That is something that we should be working towards. But may above all those things, may it come down to this focus. Love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, soul, and mind. And then let that emanate into other people's lives. May we love our neighbor as ourselves. May we be simply striving to love God and people this evening. It's as simple as that, right? Sometimes in my life, I think, well, how am we going to do this activity at church? Or how am I going to preach this portion of scripture? What standard do we need to have here? What needs to take place here? And sometimes I can get so wrapped up in all that that I forget my first priority, love God and love others. Just like on those days when I go to do something and I get distracted and I'm picking up this and I'm picking up that or doing projects that I really shouldn't even be doing when I need to be getting one thing done, can be the same in our life, can it not? We lose focus to love God and love people. It all boils down to that. Are you growing in him this evening? Are you seeking him? Have you lost your focus? You know, there were many times growing up that I would cut hay. Maybe you've mowed grass before. But if you ever do it and you're just driving out through the middle of the field, just trying to maybe avoid the bumps or looking right down at the hay, when you get to the end of the row, what does your row look like? Whoo, pretty wavy, right? Maybe you've been driving down the road. I remember the first time I drove, I was kind of all over the road. And my dad told me something. He says, look further up ahead, right? Focus on something further out. If you're cutting hay or mowing grass, if you focus on that fence post that's way out there, what happens to your rows? They kind of straighten up, right? Your focus has changed. Instead of looking at everything that's around you, you're focusing in on one thing. And here, Jesus is telling this lawyer, he says this, he says, above all else, would you focus upon the Lord? Would you focus upon him? Would you focus on your love for him? Would you put all your being, all your body, everything that you have, would you focus on him? And when that happens, all the other laws and things in our lives just fall into place. Isn't that amazing? When we focus upon our love for Jesus, when we focus upon our love for him, all the rest just fall, the rows are straight, right? God takes care of all the rest of the details. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you lost hope in people tonight? Have you given up on them? Sometimes when we get tired, we just think, well, fooey with it, right? We'll just be done with them. We'll circle around. Maybe in a month or two, we'll come back to it. You know, Christ wants us to love people all the time. He wants us to love him all the time. Keep loving, forgiving, treating them how you would want to be treated. And then lastly, have you made God your God? And do you love him with everything that you have? Father, I thank you so much that you loved us so much. Lord, I don't know why you do. I would have given up on myself a long time ago. And yet you choose to continue to love. And Lord, would you help my focus not to get lost, but would you help it to fix solely on you and loving you? Lord, would you help each one of us here to focus on loving you and loving others tonight? Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name.